maybe you can relate to this.
You might be in a place right now where you are in the valley of the shadow of death. It feels like life is falling apart. Well, I have good news for you. You have a good shepherd, and he's been there before. He went there ahead of you. He is taking you through. It's a valley. You will go through it. You will get through it. And at the other end, you're going to look back and go, that wasn't death. That was a shadow of death. I was afraid of death until I took my last breath. And then I took my next breath and I was in heaven. And I'm like, what was I afraid of? Death is so deceptive. It tricks you.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We're traveling through the Psalms one verse at a time here on The Balanced Word. Join the journey. Pastor Dave Rolfe will be with us momentarily with Psalm 23. You may have heard it quoted at a funeral or referenced by your pastor in a Sunday sermon. But as you'll hear in a moment, it communicates something important to us about God being our good shepherd. We need constant care and attention, and we need to be led and restored. And the good shepherd provides that and so much more, as Pastor Dave explains.
The good shepherd restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep aren't very good about walking on paths. Sheep are very, very conservative by nature. It's one reason why throughout history, people have often resented sheep and shepherds. They were sometimes considered to be the lowest form of subsistence in life. The reason is if you don't take care of sheep, they will stay right where they are, just like we do, and eat and eat and eat and eat and pull the grass up by the roots and just destroy a field. And if you leave the sheep in one pasture too long, they make ruts throughout it. Makes it hard for the water to flow and for the grass to be healthy. And so a good shepherd leads the sheep in paths of righteousness, bringing them to the next place. If you go to a field where sheep are being raised, you'll often see that it's segmented up into sections. And they'll fence the sheep into one area and allow them to eat there for a while. And while they're still eating, but there's still grass left, they'll open a gate and the sheep won't go into that gate. You have to herd them in through into the next field and let them start on a fresh patch of grass. Funny thing is, if you've ever seen that happen, the sheep, when they get into the new place, they're jumping around. They're all excited. They never wanted to go there in the first place, but the move is good for them, but it's also good for the ground. It's healthy for everyone. But if a shepherd ignores the sheep will just tear up one piece of ground and then still stay there eating dirt and whatever little roots are left. They don't know how to move. And same thing with us. We can't handle change very well. And God is saying, I'm trying to lead you down a path. There's some place where you can go that's better than where you are. And we go, no, I want to stay here and just eat this until all the roots are gone. And so often, we will wear out our welcome. We'll hang in there with something too long, feel like, well, you know, I'm being persistent. Hey, if you want to walk with God, it's a walk. It means sometimes he's going to move you, take you from this pasture and move you to another pasture, leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's something that glorifies him. He knows better than we do. And so if we know the Lord is our shepherd, we should expect him to make changes in our lives, and it shouldn't freak us out. It shouldn't cause us to go, oh no, I can feel something changing. This is going to be horrible. I'd rather stay here and munch the roots that are left than to take a chance of going somewhere else. It's too scary. Hey, if you want to be God's child, if you want to be his sheep and have him be your shepherd, you need to be open to moving. You need to be open to changes because that's what life does. And in fact, it's good for us when things happen that shake up our routine a bit. Just because God has you doing one thing doesn't mean that you're always going to do that one thing. He may have something more that he wants to do through you. Or he may want you to do it in a different place or in a different way or with different people or whatever. The good shepherd understands that. And he won't leave you someplace too long where you feel like, man, I should have just made a move sooner. I don't know why I was dragging my feet. I knew God was leading me, but I didn't want to do it. I was afraid. He's a good shepherd. And when he leads you, it's in his paths of righteousness. You can trust him. And then he goes on and says, yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And we don't like this part. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Scary. Shadows, kind of spooky. And they don't look like, they look bigger than the thing that they are shadowing, actually. I remember when my brother and I were kids, I'd scare him when he was younger by making animals with my hands, monsters on the ceiling of our bedroom. And he slept above me in the top bunk, I slept in the bottom bunk, and it was easy to do and to frighten him. If that didn't get his attention, I'd kick the bed and hear him hit the ceiling. But when was the last time as an adult that you were really frightened by a hand animal shadow puppet? It's, you figure out, oh, it's just a shadow. You're walking down the street, a truck is coming. You're on the sidewalk, but you see next to the truck this huge shadow of a truck. It's bigger than the truck. Do you want to take the hit from the shadow, or do you want to step out of the way into the street and be hit by the truck? That's the way death is. We look on death and think it's the scariest thing in the world. But the truth is, every trial we go through, including those that may lead us to death, we find out it's not what we thought it was. It's a shadow. And not only that, it's something that we pass through. It's not a dead end. We look on death so often and it looks more like a box canyon. It looks more like we're getting backed into a corner. In reality, no, it's a canyon. Now, a good shepherd will usually, during the summer months, lead the sheep up to higher ground. Down in the valley, it's hot. They aren't dressed for the heat. And so up in the high country, where there are meadows that are fresh, the shepherd will lead the sheep. But it's scary going up there because they're not good climbers. And so you have to take them through valleys as they work their way through. And in those valleys are a lot of predators. Sheep can't defend themselves. They don't have fangs. They can't make an intimidating noise. I mean, if you're attacking a sheep, it's like the worst thing you face is like a pillow fight, you know, or maybe the sheep will try to go ram their head into you, but when they put their head down, they usually miss and hit a rock or a fence or something else. So they're scared. But the presence of the shepherd says, go through this valley because I know where it heads. I've been there. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear evil. I won't believe something bad is going to happen to me. You might be in a place right now where you are in the valley of the shadow of death. It feels like life is falling apart. Well, I have good news for you. You have a good shepherd, and he's been there before. He went there ahead of you. He is taking you through. It's a valley. You will go through it. You will get through it. And at the other end, you're going to look back and go, that wasn't death. That was a shadow of death. I was afraid of death until I took my last breath. And then I took my next breath and I was in heaven. And I'm like, what was I afraid of? Death is so deceptive. It tricks you. But because he is with us, I'll fear no evil. Sheep are afraid of everything. And we are too sometimes. But it's when we discover who our shepherd is that we can say, if he's with me, I'll go. If he's gone there ahead of me, I'll trust. I know I can trust him. He's my good shepherd. He goes on to say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Shepherds will keep a stick. A staff is the one that has the hook on the end, and they can kind of grab a hold and steer a sheep or pull them up something that they can't climb. The rod was a piece of wood that had a ball on the end of it. And if a sheep was getting too far away, the shepherd would throw it and boom, it'd clunk them on the head. And they go, no, they need to come back or they're going to get hit again. They never could train a sheep to pick the stick up and bring it back, but it's just sheep. But David says here, even when you whack me, even when I feel that poke, there's something that's uncomfortable. That's disturbing. I know that the hand at the other end of that stick is a hand that has a big hole in it from a nail. That hand is attached to the one who gave his life for me. As Jesus said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And so even when I experience pain, I know that your hand is on the other end of that pain. Even as I experience things that I don't understand and I wish they could go away, yet even that is a comfort because it reminds me that you're there, that you went first. He goes on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Probably a reference to a plateau where they would go in the summer. As they would work their way through this valley and past all the danger, there's a place where the shepherd's already been and he's prepared it and made a provision knowing where he's going and everything's great, preparing a table. He then says, you anoint my head with oil. A shepherd always needs to pay careful attention to the condition of sheep because since sheep can't, you know, protect themselves, defend themselves, they are always getting little nits and bugs and mites and things like that in their hair and in their head. And as they scratch their head, they're so dumb that if they itch, they slam their head against a fence or they burrow it into the ground. Then they flip themselves over and can't help themselves at all. So the shepherd constantly is pulling apart their hair and seeing if there's anything wrong in there, massaging in some oil like a salve in order to heal them. Oil in the Bible is a symbol, so often a type of the Holy Spirit. As we pick up all the junk from the world, as we are like a magnet for problems, the Holy Spirit just gently working in our lives that healing and that restoration. He also, one of the reasons why they put oil on a sheep's head is because sheep tend to fight each other. And they run together and bang heads. It's not unusual to see two sheep bang heads and they both get knocked unconscious, flip over on their backs and can't do anything even when they wake up. Kind of like us. Who do we fight with? The ones who we're the closest to. We know we can't fight wolves, so let's fight each other. And we bang into each other. So the shepherd would put oil on the head of a lamb so that when they go bump heads, they just kind of glance off each other. And the Holy Spirit does that for us too. He sometimes just, if we'll allow him to, he lubes us up enough, splashes on the Brill cream or whatever, so that when we try to run into things, it goes smoother, it glances off. The Spirit is there to help us to avoid an injury that would be devastating. Anointing my head with oil. And then he says, my cup runs over. God always wants to work in us in such a way that he gives us way more than we need so that we can feel that abundance of provision and so that we have enough that we can share with others. See, it's nice to have your needs met, but a great thing is when you say, my needs have been met so sufficiently that I have more than I need and I can begin to give it away. It's a great, blessed feeling to know that God has given you so much that you're able to give to other people out of what's flowing over the top. It's what Jesus said would happen with the Holy Spirit, that it would be gushing forth with torrents of living water, just excess, so that ministry for us should never be, oh, I'm so dry, but I'll try to do it. But it'll be like, man, God's been so good to me that I have a little extra I can pass around. Halloween's coming. Oh, they're asking for candy, but I need all the candy. I buy it and I need it. And no, hey, trust me, we all have extra candy. And in so many other ways, our cup is just running over. God's generous to us. Some of you responded generously when we talked about the need down after the Hurricane Katrina down in the Gulf. And as a result, you gave money, and Steve Bailey, with the excess of his time, has been down there for several weeks, and he was just sharing with me what a blessing it is, because with the money that we gave from our church, none of us are starving because of giving some extra money, but they're feeding like 3,000, they're putting out 3,000 meals a day in this place where he is, and he just, with money that people donated to our church, just bought a whole semi full of food to continue to provide for these people. people. And it's just, it's not, okay, give sacrificially. It's just, it was just extra stuff. We're still okay. It's not like, oh, we can't pay our rent now because we're giving all this food. God has a way of when we allow him to work through us, and especially when we're satisfied with what we have, we realize, man, now there's extra. This is great. Now, he is generous with us, and he doesn't ever tell us just give everything. Unless you're so attached to your things, he might, like he did the rich young ruler. But really, all God wants from us is just to overflow. He'll use us for a few minutes or a few bucks. He goes, I am so blessed by my good shepherd that my cup's running over. So here, you guys might as well share, because I have more than I need. He goes on to say in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So often, we spend our lives following after something. We may not even know what it is, but we're following it. We're trying to catch up to it. Often, we think, I'm trying to find God. But we lose the picture of the good shepherd who has been following us, who wants to find us. Now, often, the way we are, it's when we get really desperate. Our life is falling apart, and then we say, oh, man, I need God. And so when my life is miserable enough, I'll turn to God. But you know what? And that's fine. If you get miserable, it's a good thing to do. But how much more appropriate it would be if we would look at our lives in gratitude and we would say, you know what? Goodness and mercy, they've been following me all the days of my life. And on the basis of that, I want to be close to my good shepherd. Not waiting until desperation time, but looking at all that we've been blessed with as our cup overflows and then going, I want to be close to a God like that. Don't wait until you're desperate. God has been following you. He causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And the truth is, whether you're a Christian or not, and whether you understand this or not, every goodness in your life has been God following you, trying to get your attention. Every bit of mercy, everything that you've done that you didn't get caught for. Every time you drove over the speed limit and you didn't get a ticket. God's mercy. He's following you. You feel it in ways you go, somehow there's something out there, the man upstairs, and not going, wow, goodness and mercy has been following me. The Bible tells us it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. God's been good. Goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. I told the story recently, but it just fits here, and I'll tell it again in case you weren't there. There was a guy who was blind from birth. But as he got older, he got to be 12, 13 years old, he was just getting bitter and angry about his condition. And so he just kind of quit trying. And his father saw this and he knew something else needed to happen. And so he said, I am going to start holding you responsible like everyone else in this world. I'm sick of you having pity on yourself and you don't do anything. So right now it's time to put the storm windows on. You go out in the garage and you get those storm windows and get a ladder and I want you to screw those storm windows onto the house. And he goes, I'm blind. How do you expect me to do something like that? He goes, look, I'm sick of your excuses. You get out there and do it. And his son, with anger and bitterness, said, I'll show you a thing or two. I'll do it. And if I fall, great. Maybe I'll break my neck. And so he stormed out of the house, and he's fumbling through the garage, knocking things over. He finally finds the ladder. He finds where the storm windows were and the screws and the screw gun. And he's just stumbling and falling. But somehow he manages to get outside and put the first storm window on. And after slipping, falling, dropping things up and down the ladder, he finally was able to put a storm window on. And then he started to go do the next one and the next one. And all of a sudden, he felt kind of empowered, like, I can do this. And he was happy, and he just felt better than he had felt in a long time. And that night, after he put everything away, his dad hadn't said anything to him. He went and talked to his mom, and he said, you know, I really feel bad about the way I talked to Dad. And I want to tell you, by being able to put on those storm windows, it made me feel better than I felt in a long time. But he said, I'm still wondering how in the world I could have fallen. I could have been hurt. How could Dad ever expect me to do that? I didn't think I could do it. How could he let me take a chance like that? And his mom said, you know, your dad was never more than 3 feet away from you the whole time. He was right behind you. He couldn't have fallen. But he was letting you go through that to discover what you could do. And I'd suggest to you, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you've ever come to understand who the Good Shepherd is, he has been following you with his goodness and his mercy all the days of your life. And it's time, if you haven't acknowledged him and met him, it's time to meet him now. And to understand, he's my shepherd. Do that, you'll never want. You'll be satisfied. The striving, the struggling, it'll all be over. And you have that guarantee of heaven. Not only is goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life, but I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is it that's so difficult about this life that will matter after you're in heaven for a couple thousand years? Hey, he's not only taking care of us here, but he has paved the way there. And we will be in his house forever. The worst thing that can happen to us down here, if it goes really bad, we end up there, dwelling, being at home, in the house of the Lord forever. Hey, we are blessed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolf. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Here's a cute story as we close that conveys a powerful truth.
Might have heard the story about the little kid who was supposed to quote the 23rd Psalm up in front of the church. He studied it. His parents drilled him on it. It was his big moment. And that night as he got up on the platform at church, dressed up in his nicest clothes, and all those people were out there, he started to quote the 23rd Psalm. He had said it hundreds of times already, but he got up there and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then he looked at all the people and he just became panic-stricken. He goes again, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he waited. And then he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." And he walked off the stage. A profound commentary on the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. I'm through. I don't want to be a slave to things that I don't have and things that I want. I don't want to make a foolish choice because, oh, I'm so driven. Like Martha Stewart going to prison for doing something that netted her less than $50,000. She was a billionaire. $50,000 to a billionaire is the same as $50 to someone who has $1 million. Now, if you have $1 million with equity in your house and everything, no doubt many of you do. If somebody said, "I want you to trade your whole future away, I want you," now the risk is you're going to go to jail. The risk is your reputation will be destroyed. The risk is they'll throw you on a terrible TV show and make fun of you. Or, but the thing is, if we get away with it, you're going to make 50 bucks. Hell, what? I'm going to take that kind of chance for 50 bucks? But see, if you are slave to want, That's exactly the kind of trade-off you will make again and again and again. Trading away things that are valuable, giving up your family, giving up friends, giving up peace and joy and all of those things because I want. It's time for us to come to our good shepherd and say, I don't want to be a slave to what I want anymore. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. I will learn to be satisfied with what I have. A good shepherd, an eternity in heaven, and more overflowing blessings that I could ever deserve. A God who follows me everywhere I go with goodness and mercy.
More from the Psalms headed your way the rest of this week on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave. A daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play.